notorious statewide sports talk. On your radio, digital radio, the app and streaming. RSN's Breakfast with Half with Daniel Harford.
Good morning, everybody! Welcome to Breakfast at RSN. Great to have your company. It's Thursday, the 30th of March. If you're writing checks today, do people still do that? Do they? I don't know. Just send us your details or transfer it, I suppose. It's normally the conversation when it gets to that point. If it's your birthday today, have a great day. If somebody else has let you know, tell them to have a great day. Give them a buzz. Great to have you with us. It is game day for a big game of footy tonight. Oh boy, looking forward to talking more about that through the morning. The Western Bulldogs and the Brisbane Lions to kick off round three, Thursday night footy. The weeks get shorter when Thursday night footy happens. I like it. Makes sense to me. Although the challenge is going to be very bound, but to deal with those little breaks all the way through the season for all the teams. But I look quite like Thursday night footy. I think it is a perfect way to start the season as it goes. Hey, we'll get your take on that through the morning. Do you like it? Is it warming on you? I know there's a bit of opposition to that through the early phases of the concept. But is it wearing on you? Are you warming to it? What is your go with Thursday night footy? Let us know through the morning. 1-300-652-927 or 0416-905052. Speaking of Thursday night footy, the CEO of the Brisbane Lions, Greg Swan, is going to be joining us today. Looking forward to catching up with Swanee. I think he was hanging out with Mark Hunter, our man Mark Hunter, last week in Bris Vegas to get him warmed up for a big game down here tonight against the Doggies. Mark might have been able to give him some inside word with Lockie now, of course, at the D's. Alan Jones, Australian racing royalty. Not the thoroughbred kind or the harness or dog kind. No, but the motor racing kind. Formula One world champion is going to join us as well ahead of the Australian Grand Prix this weekend at Albert Park. All the action kicks off tomorrow. A lot of the racing and practice sessions for all the categories at Albert Park. And there's some discussion today that they might want to put that under lights, the whole Albert Park race. I wonder what the residents think about that. Poor boy. Not sure that's going to work. Matt Short is going to join us, Victorian cricketer, Dean Jones medalist, live from India, getting ready to be a part of the Indian Premier League, the IPL, which kicks off this weekend. Another accolade for Matt Short last night at the Victorian Cricket Awards. So I'm looking forward to catching up with Matty very, very shortly, in fact. And Mark Robinson, the chief footy writer at the Herald Sun, the biggest selling daily in the Southern Hemisphere, is going to join us as well from 8 o'clock to discuss the weekend footy and all the issues within. So looking forward to catching up with Robbo after 8 o'clock as well. There's a couple of other stories bubbling along that we'll try and touch base on as well through the morning. But if you want to have your say on the water sport, we would love you to do so. We encourage you to do so. 1-300-652-927 is the number to call. 0416-905052 via the SMS. You can tweet us anytime you like at Breakfast with Half. I'll even say that properly. On RSN927. Or any other ways you can get a hold of us. There's plenty of ways to get a hold of us. But give us a buzz. And if you do, of course, you go into the running to be our Friday winner of the $500 pack for your local sporting club. Thanks to our good friends at Ross Faulkner. Worthwhile for a lot of sports clubs out there that battle a bit, buying new equipment, getting all the good stuff for another season. This is a great opportunity just by having your say on the program. 1-300-652-927. We'll draw that tomorrow. So get on the air today. Is going to be effectively sort of your last chance. Mark Stevens, all the latest footy news with him. I wonder what he's feeling today with the Bulldogs in action tonight. A bit toey. Our man Stevo, the apprentice with the pole today, and of course the owl, who's about to join us. He's getting ready to tell us what's happened in the world of sport. Al, good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, Daniel. Good morning all on this Thursday, start of round three.
You were very busy yesterday. You were very busy yesterday. You took off out of the studio straight away. You had stuff to do. You were too cool for brekkie with us. You didn't want to have coffee or bacon and egg sanger, which was slightly disconcerting. We felt abandoned.
Well, after the disregard you showed me during the show.
Oh, come on.
I felt a little bit... a little bit disappointed, to be honest.
Did you take it to HR?
I had to go to my other place of employment, but as we know, everyone just does their best. I'm not busier than anyone else, certainly the tradies out there.
Oh, God love you. And poor old tradies. They're working hard out there.
They are. Everyone's just doing their best.
I tell you what I've noticed, just by the way, speaking of tradies, the whole tunnel squad from next door, they've gone.
What's happening?
Oh, I don't know.
I haven't seen a tunnel.
The tunnel squad's gone. What station is happening around here? What's the one that just they're building? The underground station? There's one just there.
Yep, that one.
That one just there, where we are, top of Elizabeth Street. It's I don't know what's happening, but all the tunnel crew, all the station crew have gone. They've packed up and moved house from the empty lot next door. I don't know what's going on, which means that the parking inspectors might start giving some tickets.
Yeah, I know. I'm a bit concerned with that.
Now that the unions aren't getting involved in the parking ticket situation, I think there might be some tickets being handed out to Stephen and his big black Benz out there. It's a concern. It is a concern. But it does free up some traffic around here.
It does indeed. All right, let's start with Will Sutherland. Disappointing news coming through yesterday that the star all-rounder from Victoria will miss his debut county cricket season with Essex and a potential Ashes berth after scans revealed a lower stress fracture in his back.
No, that's no good. That is no good for the skipper, the chief, as they call him. He's had such a good season in just about every format and get the opportunity to play Shield county cricket and develop his craft, and who knows what that could lead to. That's distressing for Will, I would think. He'd be flat about that.
Yep, no good at all. Durham has signed Australian...
Sorry, he was one of the winners last night at the Cricket Victoria State and Big Bash Awards. The chief, he was the John Scholes medalist, voted by the Victorian's men's squad and awarded to the player judged to be the best exhibit of Victorian values. So he took that out, and he took out the Bill Lawrie medal for the best performances over the course of the Marsh Sheffield Shield season. So he's the Brownlow of the Shield, I suppose. He took out that as well. So he had a good night last night. Did the chief, despite the fact that there was that announcement of his back stresses, which is a bit sad.
Durham has signed Australian spinner Matthew Kuhneman for its county championship campaign after a planned deal for Todd Murphy fell through. So no Murphy, but Kuhneman steps up.
Oh, well, both test players.
Yep.
Both test players, that's a win-win.
Good business for the left-arm spinner who, of course, made his debut in India. An upset in the women's quarterfinals at the Miami Open this morning with number 2 seed Aryna Sabalenka beaten in straight sets by Romania's Sarana Cârstea. More of that tournament throughout the morning. Another quarterfinal getting underway, and then the men's up later this morning as well. More on tennis. Australia will face Great Britain, France and Switzerland in the group stage of the Davis Cup finals in September. A bit of football. Argentina captain Lionel Messi passed 100 international goals as he scored his 7th international hat-trick in a 7-0 friendly romp against Curaçao.
Against who?
Curaçao.
Ah, yes, our good friends at Curaçao. I love the program. 7-0 romp. How good is romp as a word, just by the way? When you're a dominant team in sport and you romp, that's what a great description. What a fantastic visual that creates.
I use that from time to time in my writing work with the thoroughbreds.
Oh, when they romp it in?
If they have a romp,
How many times do thoroughbreds romp in these days? How many romps are there?
No, it's not
as... I know there's a lot of racing around the planet, but...
No, it's not frequent, but...
When they do romp,
yeah,
do they go on... What happens post-romp more often than not?
As in the next start?
Yeah, the next start, yeah.
Well, they can repeat the romp or potentially just get over the line.
Because if there's a romp and then there's a lackluster showing the next time out, what does that mean for the romp?
Well, it puts it into some perspective, but chances are they will have stepped up in class.
Right. Yes.
So if there was a romp in maiden grade, for example, and then they go to the next grade up and come to town, for example, like potentially your horse did that cost us the multi yesterday, then maybe that's just the way it goes.
I was a bit flat about that. MN, Graham Begg, Ebony King was Gator's best bet yesterday of the whole day. Of the whole day. And it couldn't finish. It was finished third. We wanted it to finish top two for the RSN multi yesterday, and it finished third. So we got 2 legs and a third, which is basically 3 legs. 3 legs and a second in the quaddie on a Saturday.
Early Mail got rolled too.
Well, that was the more distressing, I must admit, because we had the going in a little multi. We were that confident we had a 2-leg multi rolling with the Early Mail.
Yeah, what deal from the Philip Stokes yard just went past it as if it was glued to the ground.
I'll tell you who's going all right, just by the way, with the small team.
Please
Michael Trotter.
Yep.
Michael Trotter.
He's your man, isn't he?
He's my man. I know Michael. But I'm just keeping an eye on him. I saw him the other day. I said, how are you going? He goes, mate, we're going all right. So So I did some checking on his numbers, and he's going all right. I thought he was just talking himself up, as he's prone to do when we catch up. But another winner yesterday, a really strong win. Mm. From the Trotter camp.
And I just want to finish up with this before we get to the break half, just to set the scene and whet the appetite for round three of the AFL and potentially get Steve-O up and about. This is the Under Fire Bulldogs coach Luke Beveridge speaking yesterday. He was upbeat.
Oh, the mood's really, oh, it's buoyant, Rob. I mean, the players have got tremendous relationships. I think we're in as good a state as we ever have been in our environment and the connections between the players. And so that, you know, they're feeling it a bit because of their own expectations and obviously our supporters, and you know, they, in a sense, they absolutely feel like we've all, you know, let our supporter base down, and we're looking to atone and make amends. But yeah, the mood's terrific. We've had a good morning. One of the real challenges when you go through these sorts of clouds, so to speak, is to make sure that you allow them to have clear heads, and they're still going to be able to play with the freedom that our players need to get the performance we're after.
So there's Bevo speaking yesterday. Can't wait for tonight. Can't wait to see how the Bulldogs come out in the first 10 minutes.
Yes, very important 10 minutes for the season for the Western Bulldogs. For the season. Under siege, as you say, Luke Beveridge was pretty good yesterday, pretty measured and balanced yesterday. He gave a bit. He was a little bit open, which I wasn't expecting. I thought him to be a bit bristly yesterday, but he was open. He accepted what was happening, and it was a bit of a surprise to all of them. It suggests to me that it's been made very clear within the walls that that's not the way we do things around here, and we'd want to turn it around real quick.
Are you surprised Sam Darcy's been dropped, or is it just a young kid who will sort of float in and out of the team early doors?
No, I was initially, then thought about it. I thought, well, he hasn't performed that well, and they're the world's tallest team. Rory Lobb comes in. I'm not sure this Land of the Giants thing is going to work, as perhaps they thought it might have. So indications in the first couple of weeks suggest it's not a formula they should be persevering with. So I wasn't too surprised to see someone get the chop from the big man brigade, particularly with Rory coming back in. And as you say, he's got plenty of time. There's no need to force this kid. Let him find his groove.
My man, Artie Jones, on debut. Keep an eye on him.
Your man, he is your man. You called him during our practice match. Yep. Skinner Reserve, didn't you?
Did. Like him a lot.
I know.
So,
hey, speaking of kids, do we mention...
No, save that for later.
Summer McIntosh? Mm. Oh, boy. I'll give her some love now, but we'll go a bit deeper into it a little bit later on. If you haven't heard the name Summer McIntosh in the world of sport, you're going to. Well, you should have by now because of what she did yesterday, but you're going to. My hat.
Got real Ramsey Street area, is that name, I reckon?
Yeah. Well, you've got to be a great athlete, and probably in more often than not in her discipline with a name like Summer McIntosh. All I can think of when the word romp is used is Warnie and elephant underwear. Off the SMS. That's not me. That's off the SMS. Yeah. That's a fair assessment, too. It's a great word, though, romp. A night Grand Prix would be a spectacular sensation. It's a good description. I'd definitely go. Talk about tradies. Our son is working day and night to get the Grand Prix preparations done, says Jezza. Well done to young Jezza out there doing his business, getting the Grand Prix ready. But it would be spectacular. It cost a fortune to put lights around the track, I'm sure. We'll see if it's ever going to happen.
You can call me, baby. You can call me anytime. You got to call me. Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around.
Oh, churn like this. Real Thursday morning groove on RSN. Great to have you with us wherever you're listening. 21 to 7. Mark Stevens joins us, AFL editor, around about this time every day. So I'm feeling this, Stephen. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm trying to feel. It's not Joan Armand trading, is it? Similar.
Are you serious?
I prefer Drop the Pilot.
Well, it's not hers, is it?
No.
You don't know who this is.
I'm lost. It's lost me. I know the song. I know the face. It's a Tracy Chapman.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
It's not our biggest hit.
No, I know. Well, anyone could have played Fast Cars. Yeah. Anyone could have played that. But this is a really good, groovy kind of song. Yeah. You can sit back in the chair here, just sort of rock back and forward like you're doing right now. Yeah. With your head.
Erskine Falls on the in the
well,
caravan.
Well, yeah, it could be a little bit of Erskine Falls action for this sort of stuff. You just never know. You just never know. I like this song. And Tracy Chapman is having a birthday today. US singer-songwriter won the 1988 Grammy for Best New Artist Award with Fast Car, the famous hit. But 1996, she charted with this song, Give Me One Reason, and she's having a birthday today. Stephen, I thought this might throw you a bit, this one. That's why I've sort of got around Tracy today. There's a few other birthdays I could have gone with. But Tracy's having a birthday, and I want to know, how old is T-Chap?
Could be a major milestone. I say 60.
60. It's not 60. But you're in the window, and that sort of annoys me. 59 today. Ooh, for Tracy Chapman. Well done, Stephen. Well done. Well done. MC Hammer's having a birthday today, or Stanley Burrell, as he was born. He was born in California in 1962, which makes him 61 today. And he can't touch this. There's no doubt about that.
Wow, surprised we didn't play that. And obviously, you did that last year.
I think I've done that the last 5 years. for Stanley. Paul Reiser's having a birthday today. US actor and comedian, 66. He wrote a book. I read one of his books years and years ago, and I remember laughing out loud several times. He's called Mad About You sort of guy. Remember that guy? It was a very funny book. Deborah Byrne, Aussie singer and actress, is having a birthday today. 60,
young talent time.
66, yes, that's right. White hit tea.
She had some troubled times, Deborah.
She has had some troubled time, but she's hopefully going all right now. Alan Fletcher, better known as...
It's the guy from Neighbours.
Dr. Carl from Neighbours, please, not the guy.
There's only one Dr. Carl. It's on the Triple J guy, the professor.
Dr. Carl from Neighbours, he's having a birthday today, 66. Married to Jennifer Hanson, remember Jen?
Yeah, he's done well. She was a newsreader at 10.
She was, that's right. Warren Beatty's having a birthday today, he's 86. Eric Clapton's having a birthday today, he's 78. Celine Dion's having a birthday today, she's 55. Piers Morgan is 58. So that's a good birthday day today. Norah Jones, I love Norah. That album she had in 2003, I think it was, Come Away With Me, was a brilliant album. She's 44 today. And Samantha Stosur, US Open winning champ in the world of tennis, is having a birthday today too. She's 39. Saw her the other day down at a park in Kew with the kids, just hanging out, doing her thing.
Yeah, well, she's pretty low-key. Always will get back into life in Melbourne. She did hang around for a while, though. With the retirement, was sort of on again.
She's playing doubles a lot. That's right.
Yeah, it was good on her. Well,
still loves playing the game. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you get out there and have a crack at it and make some cash along the way for Sam Stosur? So happy birthday to all of those, especially Sam, being one of our favourite sports stars on the Australian tennis circuit. Off the SMS, three great Victorians mentioned on your program today: Laurie Jones Scholes. Stevens is the fourth. There's no doubt about that. When it comes to Stephen's understanding of music, in the words of Slug Jordan, you've got to get the boy off. Well, I think he came good again. He came good today. He came good today.
Joan Armour trading was a joke. So
it's hard to tell sometimes. It's hard to tell sometimes, Stephen. What's not a joke is the latest news in footy.
Here's RSN's AFL editor, Mark Stephens.
Bam, bam, bam. What do you got for us, Stephen?
There's plenty happening. I know that the Owls touched on this, but we'll quickly go through the teams. The Owls turning me into the Tweety Bird. He's just sort of taking all the glory on his branch there at the moment. But we'll whip through this. Sam Darcy, your right half, no surprise, got dropped last night, was subbed out, and he's had about six touches in 2 weeks. Sometimes a kid needs some time and a full game in the VFL.
Well, there's a lot of hype around this kid, and as a result, a lot of pressure that comes with that. And if he's not performing to the level that the Dogs need or he would like, there's no need to push him and keep him out there exposed at that level if he's not quite feeling it. So let him find his groove, let him find his feet. He'll be a terrific player.
Yeah, Rory Lobb, a bit quicker than we thought to come back after those bone fragments. He'd have to be a little bit less than 100%, you'd think.
No, he'd be right.
JJ's been revived, his career, he's sort of in and out at the moment. Jason Johannesson, Daniel Rich is a big out.
Yes.
That was a surprise. But they've got Coleman to come in like for like. Just shows the depth that the Lions have got. So, big game tonight. I'm back in the President's function again. So,
oh, are you?
Just by chance, got a call last night.
Did
so
you
it's
just?
2 weeks in a row. And so, Meat Beans, the CEO, will be thinking, what's Steve-O up to? Is he making a play for the board or something? He's in here every week.
Well, are you?
No.
Put it out there right now.
Let's 2 weeks in a row.
You have been infiltrating the executive level of the Bulldogs for quite some time now.
Well, if they're 2-9, maybe there could be a play.
Oh, hang on.
Put that in the vault.
Get that on the Twitter, please. Mark Stevens makes ultimatum to Bulldogs about executive performance. I'm going to put that on the Twitter. I love that.
So also at Richmond, there's a bit happening. Of course, Dusty's now got general soreness, they're saying. He only ran laps, so
Didn't he have a hamstring?
Get a bit mysterious.
Didn't he have a hamstring scan on Monday?
Yeah, it's now general
soreness. So how does that become general soreness?
Well, that's a weird one, but I think he might miss more than one. So he's definitely out of the Collingwood game.
Well, I heard Toby Nankervis speaking yesterday, the little stand-up presser they did in regards to the Tigers this week's game, and he said there was a comment about, I can't quite remember the words verbatim, but hopefully he's back for next week.
Yeah.
Hopefully. It was emphasis on hopefully.
Yeah, and Jacob Hopper's knee is a bit of a mystery too. He didn't attend training at all, so I think that would be more than one. Jaden Short's out with a calf, and that adds to Broad. So they're under the pump a bit. And what about Eddie McGuire last night? I want to go into this.
What's Eddie done?
Pretty classified. He was also on Nine News. He loves the footy technology stories. It's all about inserting a chip inside the Sharon. Now, it's not an April Fool's joke. We've had that in the past with exploding Sharons.
It's close.
It is close. But let's, first of all, he'll talk about the timeline for a ball. They're testing it at the moment. So this, of course, will fix up all these goal decisions, goal lines, everything. So a chip in the footy. Let's take a listen to Eddie McGuire.
Now, it's being tried at the moment. There was some issues originally just getting the chip where to sit it under the laces, then to get it in. Sharon have done a fantastic job, so that's working now. Players are now kicking it, and with placebos over the next few weeks to see whether or not, because some of them thought the ball was dropping a little bit because was it a little bit heavier? Maybe not. Maybe it is. It'll get fixed. But if it all goes well, we hope to actually do in-game trials in VFL and maybe the women's football with the hope that it comes in maybe as early as next year.
He also went on to explain just the thought behind the process, the chips in the footy.
What we've learned from today from David Hill as well is that broadcasting right around the world is now changing. Once upon a time, gamers used to try and get the games to look as realistic as possible. Now television is trying to look more like a game and gaming so that the young kids will actually hear, see and appreciate what they see on their television of sport.
I've got a question. How heavy are these chips? They're like phone batteries, are they?
Well, I don't think
they're affecting the ball, the drop of the ball. They're saying dropping heavier or forward. He was saying that
it would add a little bit of weight to the ball, wouldn't it? But that's not going to be.
I wouldn't have thought. Have you seen these microchips?
They're
these
pretty
days?
Small, aren't they?
1-300-652-927. You want to see this stuff? 0416-90-50-52.
Placebo? Is that going to be the music? They're going to play the band in the background or something? I don't get that. As they kick the footy,
I don't know what that means either. It must have been.
Well, they're trying to mimic or pretend that the chip's there. I think it's a great idea if we can get it done to solve these issues with shots on goal.
But I'm still not 100% sure how it solves the issue. So if it still hits the post, if it skims the post, Stephen, how do we know that? What's the chip say?
Well, it's supposed to tell us in real time on the TV. Something will light up or... I'm not sure exactly with how the chip...
Unless it's like a hotspotty thing.
Yeah, hotspot, like... GPS sort of action.
If it's a little graze through the goalpost, which we have at the moment, how does it decipher that?
Well, it'll also know when the siren goes, so the ball will know exactly from the ball, the chip, matching that up with the siren.
Oh, now here's a good question. Here's a good question. Are the chips in the balls for goal decisions or to track down people who steal the ball after goals, asked the baker. Yeah. Your mate, Lockie.
There may be trouble there. There'd be no more stolen footies, Lockie.
Lockie, the footy stealer.
Yeah.
Would he be able to do that if they're able to track the ball?
There'd be a chopper following
him. That's very funny from the baker. Very funny indeed.
It's been used in overseas sports, so it's not a bad idea, Huff.
I want to know how it's affecting the ball drop. I really do.
That little chip?
Seen those microchips?
They're called microchip for a reason.
Exactly. They're basically nothing at all. I want to know how they're affecting the ball drops. There can't be too much testing required, surely.
I don't mind it, Huff. I don't mind how
it's affecting. And what is a placebo for that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, we'll see.
Another big issue at the moment.
If it helps the broadcast, if it helps clear things up, fantastic. But I'm still yet to be convinced.
We can trial it, of course. Trials are going on at the moment, Half. What did you make of, obviously, we've both been involved in commentary boxes. What do you make of Fox Footy? Now, I think this is a bit of a tipping point. They've been calling most games from Melbourne, interstate matches, commentators off TV.
Not just Fox Footy.
Seven are travelling.
Sometimes.
Seven are now travelling fairly regularly, very regularly. So Fox are doing the showdown from Melbourne. It's caused a bit of a stir in Adelaide. I think it's a slap in the face. It's supposed to be a national competition. What's your take, Huff? Such a big game as the showdown to have a couple of people here in South Melbourne calling off some screens.
Well, why is it an issue now? They've been doing it for quite some time.
Well, COVID's finished, Huff.
Yeah.
So that's no longer an excuse that you can travel freely. I know that there's budget constraints, but is it a worrying concern? I mean, this is the showdown. This is not the Suns versus Port on the Gold Coast. This is the showdown, a big event in Adelaide, and no TV commentators.
Well, it's what we learned through, Stephen, for good or for bad, what we learned through COVID was that you could save a lot of money by doing things down off the tube, down the lines, as they say in the industry, Stephen. And it saves heaps of cash for all these big media organisations. They think that's a really good idea. And it doesn't really affect the quality of the coverage. In fact, if you reckon it does, or it has no part at all, let us know. 1-300-652-927. Do you notice?
Yeah, Fox did at the Sydney Hawthorn game.
It's very loud.
So, this is placebo. Yeah. You can go and kick the footy, do
this. Nowhere.
It's a bit of 90s sort of stuff.
It's a good tune. I quite like
every
this tune.
But also the Sydney Hawthorn game was done down the tube. You wouldn't have known last week. But it's just it's a vibe thing, a footy thing. And imagine if Seven had not taken their commentators up to Brisbane half, and the lights go out, you got nobody to talk to. You'd be crossing back to the box here in Docklands. Now that's no good. That's why you need to have people on the ground.
Well, Fox did that last week. Fox had Alistair Lynch there last week when they went back to the studio. Give us a spell. Overworked
during COVID.
He did a 10-minute set.
He was doing everything, man.
I must admit, I love the experience of being at the game and broadcasting from the venue. I mean, that's where you see everything in real time, the full field, all that sort of stuff, and that's the difficulty. Broadcasting AFL footy because of the size of the venue and the 360 nature of it. But I don't think it affects the broadcast too much. I'm not too surprised. I'm not too surprised about that. Yes, it is. Nice to have your company. Thursday morning, Thursday night footy is a good way to get to Thursday. Now, someone was SMSing me before. I need to read that. I need to get back to that. Stand by on that. I will do it. Stand by. I'll get there. Yeah, here we go. If we know, if we get through today and tomorrow, we get two short weeks. That is good for business, says the press. That's right. Next couple of weeks are short weeks with the whole Easter situation. So that is right. We're just going to get through today. We're just going to fight today, get through, and then Friday takes care of itself. So we're all good there. Just fight today. If you're battling a bit, just fight for us today. Get through today. You've got something to look forward to tonight with the footy Bulldogs and the Lions. Just fight. Just really grit the teeth and get through. I'm backing you in today. And then we get through that and we're away for 3 weeks, effectively. Short weeks. Well, lots still to come on the program. Greg Swan's going to join us, getting ready for Thursday night footy. Alan Jones, Australian motor racing legend, Formula One world champ. Jonesy, of course, back in the old days. Mark Robinson's going to join us after 8 o'clock as well. He's got a story on the back page of the Herald Sun, the chief today, regards to the Hawthorn Indigenous investigation thing going on. There's been a bit of a possible progress in that because it's been stalled for the last little bit. Robbo's got details on that. We'll have a chat to him about that. Jamie Rogers with market updates. We'll chat to The Apprentice about the poll. Who would you take again? If you had that 2018 draft, would you take Walsh? Would you take Rosie? Or would you take Bailey Smith? If they're all on the wall in the schoolyard, who are you taking in your team first up? That's the poll today. Mark Stevens is back with us again because we need to get to the big yarn.
On Breakfast with Half, it's the Big Yarn. Well,
spot on, Tom. Not backing down. We will never do that around these parts. Off the SMS 2, Nick Ryan sounded almost, Tara Genie sort of stuff when he said, Tara Peak for the early mail, 320. That's good business. Race 6, number 2 tonight, Kilmore. And this one off the SMS as well, as we were discussing with Steve-O before, it's a better TV product with the commentators at the game. Dwayne Russell once started commentating a replay during an NBL game, thinking it was live action. He was too stubborn to acknowledge his error, says Michael off the SMS. I didn't know that. That is funny. That is funny, but that can happen. Interesting, and Steve-O, we welcome him back to the studio for this conversation, for the big yarn. Interesting that as we talked about that, Steve, something came up on Twitter in Major League Baseball. The Angels radio broadcast will once again carry all games remotely this season. Don't justify the cost, says the people at the Angels. Other broadcasters and other experts disagree. as do the 28 Major League Baseball teams. But it's happening across the world, this remote stuff. Now, TV's different to radio, I get that.
Yeah, so but it's even newspaper, journos, Half. There was a time, I remember 15 years ago, the press boxes would be full.
Yep.
Wherever you went, you had to have seats allocated. Now, you turn up to an interstate game, there's only one or two guys in the post-match press conference, which is not ideal. So times have changed. And it's sad in a way, but we've just got to move with it, Half. The remote world.
Yeah, if it's not affecting the quality, then it's got absolute legs. I think TV is a bit different to radio, certainly. So we'll see what they do with that, all the broadcasters. Speaking of broadcasters and speaking of the AFL, now the big yarn today is about the future of the game and where we are in the AFL at the moment. Gillon McLachlan was speaking yesterday, Stephen, at the Sport NXT conference, which has been big news. Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, spoke at it the other day, had broadcast heavyweights, the News Corp and Foxtel and Fox Sports yesterday as well. Had David Hill, legendary sports broadcaster and producer, speaking about sport and the coverage of it and all that sort of thing. And that's where the microchip conversation came up with, when we were talking about with Eddie McGuire before. But Gillon was on yesterday. He was one of the keynotes yesterday, Stephen.
Yeah, he was. And basically, it was a wide-ranging chat. There are several key points. First of all, Half, I want to take you through the funding ladder for the AFL this year, 2023. Gold Coast and GWS, $25 million injected in via the AFL. Now, some of that's TV money. Mm-hmm. But Gil McLachlan, he spoke yesterday and said, we may have to be prepared to lose money for a generation on the GWS and the Suns. He said there's always a ladder, there's always somebody on the bottom. This comes after News Corp power breaker Michael Miller. He expressed serious concern at the same conference a little bit earlier, Half. So how long do we have to wait, particularly for the Suns to be successful? At least GWS have played in a grand final.
Well, generation, says Gil yesterday.
Well, it's going to be tough to hang on, isn't it? I mean, we're pumping money in. Gold Coast, very frustrating. You know, it's a big commitment.
Well, they're clearly committed to it. Well, certainly Gillon's committed to it. Now, his reign at some stage will end as the CEO of the AFL, and whether or not the commission want to reassess that anytime soon or have a window of time before they want to assess how it's all going. Seemingly, they're invested for the long haul. What I did find interesting on the back of that conversation, Stephen, was Michael Miller, who's the head of Fox Sports and Foxtel, and one of the big dogs at News Corp, who was at the conference the day before, talking about the drain and the how disappointing the growth has been for the Giants and the Gold Coast Suns in AFL footy. And I thought, as a major part of the broadcasting industry, and certainly one of the big partners of the AFL, to hear him say that, I think put them on notice. And Tony Shepherd came out and said, well, we're trying to build a team in the west of Sydney, one of the most competitive marketplaces on the planet, with all different sports, and through COVID as well, when no one got a chance to do anything. So we've had a few hurdles to overcome, so give us some time. But I just thought it was interesting that the head of Foxtel, Fox Sports, and one of the big dogs at News Corp came out publicly and said that the Giants and the Suns are trending downwards in the AFL, and it's a real concern.
That's a slap, isn't it? Similar to what Seven did with the cricket rights. I mean, you very rarely hear a broadcaster in partnership come out and say these things. So when you look at the GWS, crowds are alarming, aren't they? The Giants' first game there against Adelaide, I mean, there was nobody there. I know it was hot, but there was probably 3,000. It seems to be dropping off. It doesn't seem to be. I think we need. There should be a full look at the crowds at GWS, whether the numbers are correct. I think sometimes they seem to be wheeled up just a fraction.
Oh, you think?
Well, we should have a count. Well, there's always an insinuation.
There's some rounding going on.
Well, sometimes you don't see anybody there, Half. So I think that's clearly a concern.
They're all on the broadcast side, you know that.
Yeah, well, there's not many broadcasters there either. Now, the other issue for Gil yesterday, he revealed in coming weeks, so that's the quote from Gil, the timing of the grand final will be decided, Half. Now, you'll be happy with this. We've waited too long. We should know already. But certainly there's murmurs and little sources are saying that we look headed now. I think it's almost inevitable that there's going to be some sort of nighttime action in the grand final this year. More likely to be 4:40 than a jump to, say, 7:20. But I think get used to it. So a halftime extravaganza in the dark.
Well, it's not going to be the dark, though, is it? It's going to be 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it'll be close enough to dark then. No, it will be dark.
It'll be darkish.
It's not daylight saving.
It'll be darkish.
Yeah, it'll be dark enough.
Well, it's coming out of into the light again at the end of September.
Yeah.
So we, it's not going to be dark.
But you're in favour, huh?
Well,
I think it's happening.
I'm okay with the twilight. I just reckon the experience of grand final day and the way it's been set up for forever, it just works. The only reason it doesn't work to the absolute maximum is for TV nationally, I suppose. And they have quite rightly have a fair say in proceedings. But I just think the format of grand final day works. If you push it back a couple of hours, not too stressed about that, I suppose. But I just reckon a night grand final, we lose the energy through the whole day, I reckon. We're filling time to get to the big crescendo of the piste de resistance, the grand final itself.
I just reckon
it stretches the day and it loses. I don't know. We haven't done it yet. I haven't lived it, but it could lose a fair bit of the magic. Just my take on it. I don't know. Give us a call 1-300-652-927 on the Giants Suns thing.
I lived it at the
Gabba. Gil was talking about, and
It was weird up there.
The night grand final thing.
That whole grand final didn't feel like a grand final. I'm not sure why. Just because it was the Gabba, it was at night, and just didn't feel right.
Nath the Builder wants to know, what do you mean how long do we have to wait? Are you saying we should disband the clubs and go back to 16 teams? That seems crazy to me.
No, but we give them a bit of an out, don't we? I think they've been given every opportunity, particularly the Suns, not to have played finals yet. That's alarming, concerning, almost Royal Commission type stuff.
Not sure it's Royal Commission.
Well, really, Harper, can
the
you
build,
believe it? What
was the build wrong? Did they get it wrong? That's more the question, I think. When they put it together, did they get the format of that list wrong? And the whole setup wrong. Now, remember, they were working.
They've had other opportunities.
They've got tin sheds.
Yeah, they've got extra players on their list. The trouble is that the good players keep leaving at the wrong time.
Well, that's but
remember
again,
Tom Lynch,
pretty handy.
Stephen May. People forget that these guys have come from somewhere. They're now elite. May and Lynch probably two of the top 10 players in the competition. Put them back in the Suns straight away. It's a different story.
Yeah, no doubt. But that's what I'm saying. Did they get it wrong initially, the whole setup? That's what you have to reflect
on. I think it was set up okay. It's just that the cherry picking that's gone on. So they picked the right
players.
Maybe
it wasn't set up right. This is what I'm saying. I think there's a... If we're going to have this conversation about where the Suns are at, you have to go back to the very start. And the very start was the announcement of the new team and what they wanted from that and how the plan was put in place and who was running it and whether or not, upon reflection, it's easy in hindsight, to work out whether or not they got it right and just have had some bad luck and hasn't worked, or they got it wrong and it's been so costly that they're chasing their backsides ever since. I think that's a conversation worth having or a deep dive for someone to go back and have a look at. Another SMS. So what's going to happen if a Tassie team comes into the competition? Is there another generation of dollars to be spent in terms of the revenue the AFL would need to give to support that new team? Well, we don't know. They went for the Suns and the Giants over Tassie. Another one came through. And what about this one, Stephen? What happens if the lights go out in a night grand final like they did last week in Brisbane? Rules say if it's longer than an hour, it's game over. After half time, it's game over. Yeah. Imagine that drama and debacle.
We've got to get on with our life. What happens if you get hit by a bus on the way home? You still got to get home. So you've got to get on. Accidents happen. No, but it's true. You've got to live your life. You've got to play a night grand final.
You've got to get home.
But you can't wait in case, maybe the lights go out. You can't worry about that, huh? A scoreboard caught on fire at the G. That might happen again. Okay, so we won't play for
you. Now you want fire at the G.
No, but we've seen that before. So we've just got to get on with our lives. We can't worry about the power going off.
Stewie's in Narre Warren. He's given us a call, 1-300-652-927. Good morning, Stewie.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Going very well, thanks. How are you?
Good. Got a question for Steve. How long has Gold Coast been in the system, mate?
Long time. What year did they come in? That's a good question.
Was it 2010?
Right. So how long ago was it when I'm a Carlton supporter, if we didn't get in the finals because of the drug saga, we wouldn't have played finals for that long. Essendon haven't played finals for that long. And you just touched on it. You look at the players that they've lost. Well, if they had all them players still playing in their side, they'd clearly be in the finals.
I agree with that. I think they were set up okay. Half was inferring perhaps that the structure wasn't right. So they got the players there.
Well,
it's just that they've all left.
Yeah, and I've got another one for you about the night grand final. That, as Half said before, we're just sitting around, we're waiting for time and time and time. What do we do in the morning? We just get up, we'll just start hooking into the beers, and that everyone will be as drunk as monkeys.
Yeah.
Now, and
no, that is an issue. There'll be a fair bit going on, I think, before lunchtime.
Yeah, I think there's something to that, Stewie. I reckon there is. Thank you for your call. Good assessment from you. You're in the running for $500 worth of sporting goods for your local sporting team, thanks to our good friends at Ross Faulkner. Let me give you this inaugural Gold Coast team.
What year was it again, huh?
2011 was their first AFL season. They played in the VFL 2010 and the TAC Cup in 2009. So the first in Gold Coast team, right, that played against... I don't know who they played, doesn't matter. Seb Tate, Nathan Bock, Campbell Brown. Jared Harbrow, Carmichael Hunt, Nathan Cracker. Trent McKenzie, Daniel Harris, Michael Riscatelli. Danny Stanley, Charlie Dixon, Alec Magan. Alec. Jared Brennan, Zach Smith, Brandon Matera. Josh Fraser, David Swallow, who hopefully we'll chat to tomorrow, plays game number 200. Gary Ablett, Mark Locke, Harley Bennell, Dion Prestia, Josh Toy on the bench.
It's not a bad side, half.
It's not a great side, Stephen.
No, it's not too bad. A lot of those guys have gone on. Charlie Dixon's a star of the comp. Prestia's a star of the comp. They had Gary Ablett Jr.
Yeah, so it's two of the 24. That's good.
Campbell Brown.
And two of the 24?
No, they were all right. No.
Do you have the score from that first game by any chance, half? Their first game in the AFL?
I reckon I could find it. Do you know what it is?
I can't remember what it was, but the Blues had a comfortable win.
Oh, it was against the Blues, was it?
Yeah, while we wait, half. Gill's also contacted Jamara Ugal-Hagan personally, read that racial abuse, and he's adamant that they're not getting involved in this Hawthorn-Culling story. The AFL are leaving it alone, which is fair enough, as they should.
As they should.
And he's still adamant he'll go after the gather round, but we'll wait and see on that one.
All right. Thank you, Stephen, for that. Nice work. Stephen with us for the big yarn. Gil McLaughlin talking about the situation at play. And you reckon it's going to be night grand final. Is that what you're saying?
Twilight.
Twilight.
Get into the Twilight Zone.
I'm okay with Twilight. You've
got the theme music for that, Al?
Not right now. 23-8 on a Thursday morning. Nice to have you with us on breakfast. Don't forget Michael Felgate dominating proceedings from 8:30 this morning on Racing Pulse. Always the best in the business. And Big V Racing after that. Matty Nevitt, the Hornet. My God, he's a good operator, that young fella. Doing great things with Matty Stewart, of course. The two Matts. It's a Matt off there on Big V Racing before we get you the race day coverage on RSN like no one else does. As good as we do anyway. Let's talk some footy because it is Thursday night action at Marvel Stadium tonight. The Western Bulldogs are hosting the Brisbane Lions. The Lions were very, very good last week against the Demons after being lacklustre in round one. They've got to come to Marvel and beat the Dogs who have been copping it left, right and centre. Wonder what that means for CEO Greg Swan. Wonder what he thinks about all that. From the Brisbane Lions, he joins us on the line. Swanee, good morning.
Morning, half. How are you?
I'm very well. How do I find you? You're out walking the tan, are you, or something today?
Yeah, about to.
That's a lie.
I just looked out the window. It just looks a bit damp, so I'm just waiting for the... just to clear a little bit. Is there
any truth to the rumour that you'll be getting to the golf course and practising your chipping today because of the magic that you created last week in the 18th hole when you tipped in from 30 metres to take the cash?
That actually did happen. If you seem like golf, that's a miracle in itself. But yeah, that actually happened. And I might leave it at that, actually. I'm pretty no one got it on video, but that was a bit of fun last week. Yeah.
Chipped in for the cash on 18. That's a great moment. Yeah. Right. They're the ones you dream about.
Pretty special at the Brisbane Golf Club. Yeah, it was pretty good.
They're pretty good. So, hey, your boys were pretty good last week against the Melbourne Football Club. Obviously, a disappointing showing in round one. Which one's the real Brisbane Lions?
Yeah, it's a good question because we'd had a fantastic pre-season and then off we went to Adelaide and, minute before half time, we're 3 goals in front, and then after that, I don't think we touched the ball almost in the second half. We got absolutely smashed. So, yeah, good recovery last week. Like to think that's the real Brisbane Lions, but we'll see what happens tonight. But yeah, we were good. We were very good until the lights went out, and hopefully that's we can reproduce that. Look, we know the Dogs. As Fake said, I think he's said yesterday in his presser that, we expect the best of the Dogs. They're a bit like what's happened to them this week was a bit like what happened to us the week before where everyone's been, attacking them and, saying they're no good. Like, you only got to look at their team. They've got a lot of, they've got stars on every line. So we expect their best. And so we'll have to be at our best to beat them.
Yeah, I reckon you're right. I reckon it's a very similar situation. And they've been a relatively successful team the last couple of years and more than enough quality to get the job done. So no doubt Chris Fagan will be preparing the team to be wary of that, not edge, for particularly the first 10 or 15 minutes. But I want to go back to what you said about when the lights went out there. I mean, what did you think? Where were you and what did you think when the lights burst at the Gabba last Saturday night?
Yeah, well, there was a bit of a bang, actually. So one of the the power boxes outside the ground blew up, and then obviously then the lights went out, and they went out on one half of the ground, which was weird. So sort of half of it was not too bad, and the other half was pitch black. So yeah, I was just in a corporate area watching the game, and then the phone started to go. I was talking to Gil, talking to Andrew Dillon, where does it all go, trying to understand what the rules were. So, I mean, the upside for us, at the very worst, it was the game had been, once you played a half, then the score stands. So that was some relief if we didn't get back on, because we were a bit worried that, hopefully it wasn't a draw, because we felt we deserved to win. And then they said they had an hour to fix it, and I think it was 40 minutes, and then back we came. But, I'm not sure we came out, but Melbourne did, and they were good for that last 12 minutes, and we were... I think we were still in the rooms. But anyway, we got the 4 points, so that was good.
Yeah, I reckon you might have banked the 4 points before you came back out, the Brisbane Lions players, which is understandable in those circumstances. But does it mean now, and there was a story, I think Sam McClure was reporting somewhere, that the AFL have to tick off now on the Gabba before the Easter clash against the Magpies, which is a big deal, I imagine, for your footy club, because you probably sell that out for...
Look, it's pretty much already sold out. So, yeah, that is big. No, look, I think... They will have a crew from Energex at the games every time now. But look, I think it was hopefully it's a one-off. I know it happened similar in a big bash a couple of years ago. But, yeah, I mean, they're pretty confident that everything's going to be okay. So, yeah, look, I'm sure the AFL will have a look at it. But I think that was a one-off and it won't happen again. So, yeah, we'll systems go for next week when we play the Pies.
I've heard Fags' take on this, but is 60 minutes too long to restart the game, considering we're dealing with athletes that have to stay in nick and warmth and all sort of stuff?
Yeah, I think it is, actually. I rang in, after a couple of days, I rang the AFL and had that exact conversation. I think half an hour is plenty. Like, you can't, especially at that time of the game, and it was really hot that night. It was still 28 degrees when we were playing, so it was, when the guys cooled down, they literally... did cool down, and so I think an hour was, that prospect of an hour was too long. Half an hour should be enough. And anyway, they're going to have a look at that going forward. I mean, it is funny because you sort of, everyone gets up in arms and talks about it, but they're pretty rare, these sort of things. So, there was a storm and a lightning stop over in Perth a few years ago.
Yep.
But it's pretty rare, so I think half an hour is enough.
Just on football in Queensland, Gil was talking at a conference down here yesterday saying that whatever it costs, they're going to invest in the Suns, going to invest in the Giants, which is obviously not Queensland, but one of the expansion teams. Even though they're lost leaders at the moment for the AFL, and the growth is still to come in terms of national exposure and crowds and membership, that sort of stuff. How are you seeing football in Queensland in particular, Swanee, the growth of it and the viability of it?
It's going really well. I think it started when all the clubs came to Queensland. They gave us a real impetus. And then, because we've been going reasonably well, you just got to look at all the Auskick numbers and junior clubs, boys and girls. They've just exploded in Queensland. So that's, I think it's within the next year or two, we'll have more junior players and more clubs than in South Australia. So it's definitely growing. And, I think, the more invest. I mean, look, we are under attack now. The Dolphins have come in. They've gone better than we hoped. They're actually going really well.
Yeah.
And so that means you've sort of got competition every week rather than just, so not just the Broncos now, who are going really well also. So there's a bit of there's a bit of competition there now, and so the growth in the game and participation and everything else is real. And we have to keep investing to make sure that keeps happening.
There's lots of things exploding in Brisbane, the growth of the game and light towers as well.
That's right.
So just on that, I mean, there was one of the conversations on the back of last Friday night with the Broncos and Dolphins playing. And you're right, nobody expected the Dolphins to be doing what they're doing. So they've created a great level of interest and energy through the rugby league community, let alone the Brisbane rugby league community. But do you need to be mindful of that now, scheduling games, big games against Broncos and Dolphins games, or particularly when they're playing each other?
Now I think that was a bit of a quirk because of this Easter Thursday game. You got to work back, and that was the only night we could really play. And then obviously, it did clash with that derby. So that was a bit unfortunate. But we still had over 30,000 people there, so it was still a good crowd. crowd for us, and they sold theirs out. I mean, I think the biggest problem was Michael O'Brien getting enough people to do all the catering at both grounds. So you had to sit in the queue for a bit longer to get a beer. But other than that, it was it did bastardise it a little bit. Probably cost us some people, but I'm pretty sure next year we won't be drawn on the same night as that.
And a lot of eyeballs in that game too. The ratings was through the roof for that NRL game in the Northern States. And just on the news today, Robbo's got a story in the paper today about the whole Hawks investigation thing, the Indigenous investigation that's going on at the moment, and a chance for mediation with Clarko and Jason Burton. Chris Fager's been mentioned here in the aggrieved parties. Do you have any involvement with Fager through this to help guide him through this, or what's your play in this?
Yeah, no, I talked to Fager about it, but I must admit I hadn't heard mentioned that this was happening or potentially happening, so I haven't spoken today, obviously, and I've only just seen that story myself, but it's pretty slow at the minute, so anything that might be able to speed the process up would be, I think everybody would be happy to, be involved in that, but, I don't know those circumstances, but but we talk about it, but at the moment he's focused on, obviously, trying to get us to win, so we'll see where that goes. But that's the first I've heard about that story.
Has it affected him, Swanee?
No, that's unfair. Yeah, it has. I mean, he certainly is keen to clear his name, and it's a distraction that he could do without. But I mean, he's been really good at just compartmentalising that and just concentrating on the team. We haven't noticed any different in, his work, what he's doing for us and everything else. But I'm sure, it's always there in the background. I mean, even this, so he'll probably get asked about it again today or tonight. And
yeah.
So it's always there. It's a distraction that he's handling really well.
What about from a footy club perspective? Has it given you a chance or made you reflect on your relationships and your cultural sensitivities with Indigenous players and the families through your time in Brisbane and going forward and putting in practices that avoid these scenarios in future?
Yeah, I think that is the main thing for us. Like, we obviously, what's happened in the past, you can't do a lot about it. It is about what's happening now. And I mean, one of the AFL's funded all the clubs to have an Indigenous liaison officer. So Anthony Corrie, who used to play for us, he's our Indigenous liaison officer. So, and we've got, between the boys and the girls, we've got 9 Indigenous players. So, we've got a pretty strong cohort there. So, we just talk to Anthony about various things. We have meetings with the guys. So, we're working hard in that space. And, I'd like to think that everybody's really happy. And, we're dealing with all the issues that need to be dealt with. So, for us, it's about what's happening going forward. And, because what's happened in the past, we can't do a lot about. But, if there is anything out there, touch wood, so far nothing's happened in that space for us.
Greg Swan with us, the CEO of the Brisbane Lions on Breakfast tonight. They're in action at Marvel Stadium, 7:20 against the Western Bulldogs. Check your local guides on that one. Who makes the decision, Swanee, about who enters the rooms and who doesn't?
It's the coach. It's the coach's domain. So Fags and Danny Daly had a bit of a chat about it, and then we just decided that they just didn't want to do it because they just thought it just compromised. It might only be a little bit. I don't think anybody was killing themselves over it, but we just decided that we just felt that it wasn't appropriate. I mean, Daisy, she works at Geelong, so, that's the opposition. And I think if Nigel Lappin was coming in the rooms as one of Geelong coaches, we wouldn't probably let him in either. So, that's what we've decided, and we'll get on with it tonight. I'm not sure it's going to make any difference to the result.
No, I don't think it's going to change the results, but it has been a talking point through the week, no doubt. So what do you need to do? I mean, I don't know your record against the Bulldogs at Marvel Stadium, and particularly given recent years that they've been a terrific team, the Bulldogs. What is the challenge looking like tonight?
Well, it's always the way with the Dogs. They've got a gun midfield, and, I see lobs back, so they've got some, marking forwards that are always dangerous there. We've probably only played each other once a year lately. And, 2 years ago they knocked us off in a final up in the Gabba by a point. And, we always had pretty good games against them. So, as I said earlier, we expect their best. And, their best is really good, obviously, because, they've been perennial finalists. And, they're just a bloody good team. So, hopefully, we're ready for the challenge.
You've been a bloody good team the last couple of years too, top four action. Is this the year you need to take a stand and get to a grand final?
Oh, look, it'd be nice. I mean, we're still a long way away. If you had asked me that last week, we'd have been, you know, I would have said, you know, we've got a long way to go. But, yeah, I mean, I think our best is pretty good. But, you know, we're only round two, so we've got a lot of work to do. But, yeah, we were happy with what happened in the off-season. We've, you know, added some experience and obviously some good kids as well. So, you know, with obviously Will winning the Rising Star this week. So, you know, he's a really good player. And so, yeah, we think we've got some tools there, but we just have to get consistent and, you know, get into that top four at the end of the year and give yourself a chance to go from there.
Yeah, Will's had a great initiation to AFL footy, deserved Rising Star winner for this week. What about Josh Dunkley coming up against the old boys? Been a lot of conversation about him and his team, his former team, in the pre-season. Is he walking around with a cheeky or an anxious smirk today?
Oh, no, he's pretty relaxed, Josh. I hope he gets booed about 35 times or something. That'll mean he's going well. But, yeah, no, he'll get a bit of a rev up tonight. But, yeah, he's a pro, and yeah, he played again. He was really good last week, so I think he knows what to expect. He'll they'll probably be a bit harder in the tackle and a few things against him. But yeah, he's a good player. He'll be fine. So he's looking forward to it.
Well, we're looking forward to the contest tonight at Marvel Stadium. The Bulldogs and the Lions kick off round three, and look forward to seeing you on the seniors golf tour very, very shortly. Swanee, go get them.
Thanks, Ask. Good on you.